This evening is taken from the book of Ephesians. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 3rd, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. 5th chapter, starting with that 15th verse and reading through the 20th. That's the book of Ephesians, 5th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And there the scripture reads, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, when the Apostle Paul visited Athens, we see in the scripture that he walked about the various streets of that rather famous city, and everywhere he noticed shrines were erected to some particular god. The Athenians, they were a very religious, a very superstitious people, and they wanted to appease every god in the universe. Thus did Paul find a shrine on every corner, in the front of many homes, and even in the flower beds there at the houses. And on one corner, the scripture tells us, he found a shrine with the inscription, "To the unknown God." Now the people thought that possibly they had failed to erect a shrine to some particular god somewhere, so they erected this shrine to appease any god they may have neglected. Thus, they felt that they had appeased every god in the universe. Christians today have a god also that is somewhat unknown. It's God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. We know God the Father. He created the heavens and the earth and all that are contained within them. It's the God who rules over the world. We know our Savior, Jesus Christ. It was he who descended to this earth, was born of a virgin. He lived upon this earth for some 33 years, finally giving his life in order to pay the price for our sinfulness. But the grave was unable to hold him. On the third day, the scripture tells us, he arose from the grave, he ascended back into heaven, and today he sits at the right hand of God the Father in the kingdom of heaven, making intercession for saints, as you and me, Christians. One day, the scripture tells us, he's coming again to take his saints home, to spend the endless years of eternity with him there in the kingdom of heaven. It's the third person of the Godhead, which many Christians today are unfamiliar with, the Holy Spirit. And yet, he is just as much God as is God the Father and God the Son. Throughout the scripture, we find the three to be co-equal, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, in giving the Great Commission, stated that the ordinance of believers' baptism was to be in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And often in speaking benedictions, we refer to the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Always, these three persons of the Trinity are co-equal. And through knowledge of the Holy Spirit is limited with so many Christians, such should not be the case. It's important to know who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. The scripture tells us that our bodies, that is the body of the Christian, is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, you recall, in his first letter to the church at Corinth, in speaking of the Holy Spirit, he posed the question in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from Christ?" And prior to Jesus ascending into the kingdom of heaven, he stated in the book of John, the 14th chapter, verses 16 and 17, "And I will ask the Father, and he'll give another counselor to be with you forever the Spirit of truth. Thus, we find in the Scripture that the moment one accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in their heart, never to depart. And what function does the Holy Spirit perform? It's the Holy Spirit that brings you under conviction when you sin. Upon your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's the Holy Spirit that ensures your salvation until that precious day when Christ shall come in the air and call his saints, first the dead and then the living, to join him in the kingdom of heaven. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to recall that which is spiritual. He teaches us the divine will of God. He comforts us in times of sorrow. The Holy Spirit encourages us to resist the devil and his various temptations. The Holy Spirit encourages us to ponder those things which are holy, thereby ridding our minds of evil thoughts. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to serve the Lord with the talents which we have received from the Father. There are some denominations today which seemingly have gone overboard concerning the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and consequently, in an effort to distance themselves from such denominations, others have been over backwards in the opposite direction, thereby neglecting to study and appreciate the person, the work, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Once more, upon our initial acceptance of Christ, that is, upon our becoming a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our bodies. The Holy Spirit watches over us, it guides us, it directs us. There are times in our lives, however, when the Holy Spirit fills us completely. Surely we've all experienced those special occasions when we feel so very close to the Lord that chill bumps come upon us, tears fill our eyes, and we feel as though we could actually reach out and touch our blessed Savior. And spiritually, we actually do. Through the initial receiving of the Holy Spirit is a one-time occasion. We may be filled with the Holy Spirit any number of times. On the day of Pentecost, we're told that when all the Christians were present, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was then that Peter stood up and boldly preached the gospel message of salvation, where consequently some 3,000 souls were saved. And as each one of those present within their heart accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within them. Thus does the Scripture reveal unto us that upon one's receiving Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within their heart. From time to time, however, as the need arises and the conditions are met, the Holy Spirit fills the Christian completely. And in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's necessary that we first be emptied of sin. You can't fill a glass with milk when it's already has water in it. And a person cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if his heart's full of something else. There must first be an emptying. We must be emptied of our sinfulness. As we observed earlier, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit cannot dwell within our bodies if that body is full of sin. We must be emptied of selfishness. Selfishness is the root of all other sin. We enter into sin because we think only of self. If you allow yourself to sit upon the throne of your heart and demand to have this and that and the other with no consideration of others or of God, you cannot really realistically expect the Holy Spirit to fill your heart. And rather than allowing self to be first and foremost in our lives, it's necessary that we allow our Savior to be the main focal point in our lives. And in order to truly serve our Lord and Master completely, our attitude must not be that we think much of self. and little of God, it must be that we think less of self and more of God. As a matter of fact, our attitude in serving Christ must be that we consider none of self and all of God. It's necessary that our hearts be emptied of self completely. We must be emptied then of our stinginess. Our Heavenly Father tells us that we are to return the tithe unto Him. God demands the first fruits of our income. And there in the book of Malachi, He tells us when we fail to return the tithe unto Him, when we use the tithe for our own use rather than returning it unto Him, we are robbing Him. A man who allows his love for money to stand between himself and his Lord will seldom be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We must be emptied of a wrong attitude. If you have ill feelings toward another person burning within your heart, your chances of being filled with the Holy Spirit are nil. This is one area in which Satan is successful so many times in gaining the victory in a Christian's life. Feelings get hurt, and as a consequence, hard feelings begin to build up. One may attend church, he may tithe unto the Lord, and even carry out his Christian responsibilities, yet he allows that hatred to slowly burn within him, and the spiritual walk of a person will be seriously curtailed as long as he holds to an attitude such as that. Once again, the Holy Spirit of God will seldom fill a heart that's filled with hatred and hard feelings toward another. We must be emptied of indifference. This is one of the greatest blights upon the church today. The vast majority of people in church are good people. They're not guilty of any overt sin, but some have developed a don't care attitude. Every Sunday, the church meets to worship the Lord, but there are those who are members of the church, claim to be children of God, and they could care less that we're having church services. The church meets for prayer on Wednesday evenings, but there are those members who simply don't care. Financial support is needed for church expenses, but don't expect them to be concerned. All around us, souls are lost and headed for hell, but the attitude of many professing Christians is, so what? That's their problem. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's my main concern. If they go to hell, that's between them and the Lord. The pastor can stand and deliver sermon after sermon about reaching out to the lost, and in doing so, carrying out the great commission given to us by Christ. But some have seemingly become so complacent in their could care less attitude that it seems practically impossible to get them to do anything for the Lord if it entails their going out of their way. There are some who feel they're doing the Lord a favor if they come to church on Sunday morning. We must be emptied of this disobedience. There are some who claim to have been saved when they heard such and such a preacher one day long ago bring a message, yet they never publicly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, nor have they ever joined the church. Their sin is a sin of disobedience. The chance of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit such as that are next to none. Though they inwardly claim to be a Christian, outwardly they come across as one who is ashamed of Christ and the church, and not wanting others to associate them with the Christian religion. Our Lord speaks to us through the Holy Scripture saying, do this. But there are those who say, Lord, that will cause me inconvenience. Therefore, I choose not to do it. And with such a sin of disobedience being so prevalent in their lives, how can they possibly be filled with the Holy Spirit? Once a Christian gets his life right with God and humbles himself before his heavenly Father, however, it's then that the infilling of the Holy Spirit may readily take place in his life. It's then that God can use such a person. When a Christian has emptied himself of self, it's then that he's ready to be filled with the Spirit. You'll recall in the scripture that Jesus told the story of an evil spirit leaving a certain man. In the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 43 through 45, there the scripture reads, "When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of the man is worse than the first." In the same manner, if a Christian empties his heart of evilness and then just leaves it that way, according to Christ, some greater evil may very well enter. There are some who say, "I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, I don't shoot dope," and that's good. They're to be admired for a stance such as that. But that within itself doesn't make you a good Christian. Now, granted, those are bad habits, and you should choose to live your life without them, and your life will certainly be better because of it. But in order to effectively serve the Lord, it's necessary that you do more than just give up bad habits. It's when the heart is emptied of evil and the Holy Spirit is given a chance to fill that heart that a Christian is then able to really become useful. In the scripture, which we read earlier, Ephesians 5:18, the word of God comes across as a command. The scripture reads there, "Do not get drunk on wine." Now that's a command, which most members of the Baptist church abide by. Most church-attending Baptists don't drink alcohol, nor do they allow it in their home. As a matter of fact, the church covenant of the First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City states that we as a body will abstain from the sale of and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage. But the following part of that 18th commandment is a command as well. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Far too many choose to obey the part about not being filled with wine, but they neglect the portion about being filled with the Spirit. Many Christians never give it a thought. Just as alcohol changes a man both physically and mentally, so does the Holy Spirit change a man spiritually. There are some people you take, they're good, seemingly great people to be around. They go out and they start drinking, they get drunk, they start looking for someone to fight. A man who is rather shy, he starts drinking alcohol, he becomes an outgoing extrovert. A man who is usually quiet and reserved upon drinking alcohol becomes quite outspoken. You can't shut him up. A man who can't carry a note in a bucket, when he gets drunk, he wants to get out and sing some song or another. And in the same way, when one becomes filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he too becomes a different person. There are some Christians who are on fire for the Lord. They look to God for guidance in their lives, and upon their receiving directions from the Holy Spirit, they eagerly go out and accomplish great things for God. There are other Christians who have been baptized and joined the church, but that's about it. They seemingly bear no fruits of the Spirit in their daily walk. Simply put, some Christians have hearts that are full of the world. Others have hearts that are full of God. The latter have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You notice also the scripture states, "Be filled with the Spirit." This denotes a continual action. Many Christians have been filled with the Spirit of God in days gone by, and they still speak of it. "There was a time," they say, "when I felt quite close to God. I served him. I was faithful. I was even instrumental in leading another person to know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. But in effect, what they've become is has been Christians. And today, as children of God, we need to look about ourselves at the needs of others. We need to discern God's divine will for our lives, and when that divine will is determined, to step out accordingly. We need to pray, Lord, give me a new insight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And in order to obtain this infilling of the Spirit, it's necessary that we go before God in humble submission, asking him to reveal unto us anything that is amiss in our lives in order that we might rid our lives of it. Then we are to pray for asking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When you make such a request from a sincere heart, God will indeed fill you with the Holy Spirit. But that infilling probably won't come as long as you're harboring sin in your heart. Jesus stated in the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, the 13th verse, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" When God fills your life with the Holy Spirit, there will be a marked change in you. Others will see Jesus active in your life. What do people see today when they look at you? Person on the street, someone you just meet, what do they see in you? Are they able to observe Christ-like qualities in your life, or do they see carnality? Does your Christ-like spirit impress them, or do you have a quick temper and they know they've got to watch it? Simply, do you remind others of Jesus? When our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will want to possess a desire to spend time reading the Holy Scripture as well as spending time with other Christians. Spending time in prayer with our Heavenly Father will be a beloved privilege. Some Christians never even go to church. They have no desire to spend time worshiping God with other Christians. They never pray. They never think about praying until a calamity comes upon them. They never take time to read the Word of God. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we shall be empowered to serve our Lord. Even Jesus Christ himself did not enter into his ministry until the Holy Spirit of God came upon him. In the book of Acts, 10th chapter, 38th verse, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will possess a great zeal to do God's work. We won't be satisfied with simply coming to church periodically and begrudgingly supporting the church financially, but rather our desire will be to do all that we are capable of doing, for that is the furtherance of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll have a desire to share the gospel with others, possibly leading them to the Lord. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, rather than allowing the sins of the flesh to control our actions, we will desire the fruits of the Spirit to possess us completely. Take time to look deep within your heart. Do you harbor ill feelings toward another? When the Spirit of God fills you, your desire will be to make all things right. Your desire will be to get rid of that bad attitude. There are some Christians who don't get mad, they just get hurt, and when they get hurt, they act like people that get mad. A spirit-filled Christian, however, will throw out of his heart any ill feelings that he has toward another. If only Christians could correct their personal attitudes, true revival would break out in many of our churches. The filling of the Holy Spirit would bring this about. And when the Holy Spirit fills our hearts, we'll put Christ first in all things. Christ has some place in every Christian's life. What place does he have in yours? What place should he have? Our Heavenly Father should come before any other person, before every organization, simply before any call upon your life or your time. And if the Holy Spirit is filling us, we'll not be seeking self-glorification, but rather we will desire to do all we can to bring honor and glory to the service of our Lord. This is one of the greatest temptations Christians face today. So many times we want the glory for that which we've accomplished. And when the Holy Spirit fills a person, however, that person wants God to have all the glory. As Christians, may we plead with God for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to dwell within our bodies forever when we first accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thus, let us meet all the conditions and pray that he will fill us in order that we may serve our Heavenly Father completely in a greater life of service and direction than we ever have before. As we enter our time of invitation, perhaps you've never made a profession of faith. Perhaps you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If such is the case, we invite you to come. Humble yourself before the Lord and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It could be that you're here and you've been a Christian for a while, but you've never allowed the Lord to use you completely. Though you've offered a portion of yourself to his service, you're also guilty of failing to offer yourself completely. You too can come, make a rededication. Whatever the need may be, whatever the desire, whatever the want, our Savior stands ready to receive you. Let us pray. Our dear, most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise your precious holy name. Lord, we're grateful for this opportunity to come tonight, simply, Lord, to humble ourselves before you. Lord, seek your divine guidance and direction. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to move freely upon this congregation. Lord, your holy, blessed name glorified. We pray, Lord, if there's one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, the Holy Spirit would touch their heart. Lord, Christians that have drifted aside, gone out of the way, we pray, Lord, they would see their need to return. We pray your precious, perfect will be accomplished in the lives of each of us. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Amen.